Amen. Thank you, choir. I just love that. And I want you to know that if you need a Savior, He will come and save you today. All you have to do is just call out upon Him. And this could be your day of salvation. I pray it will be if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. Well, I have a very special Father's Day message for you today. And I'd like for you to turn with me in the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 11. 11 and verse 31. And if you're without your Bible today, you can reach right in front of you and get one of those pew Bibles and turn with us to page number 11 and find yourself at our text for the day. That's Genesis chapter 11. Now, for those of you that would like to go a little bit deeper with me today, I would encourage you to find another scripture in the New Testament, and that is in the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Acts chapter 7, and if you're using the Pew Bible, you can find that at page number 1260. So looking up two scriptures today, Genesis chapter 11, page 11 in the Pew Bible, and then Acts chapter 7, which actually explains Genesis 11, Acts chapter 7, verse 2, and that's page number 1260 in the Pew Bible. I've been thinking a lot about my dad recently, and I'm the same age he was when he died at age 55. And also Amy is the same age that her father was when he passed away. So this has been a very poignant year in the Patterson household, just thinking about our own fathers and the fact that both of us, Amy and myself, have now lived the full extent of our father's ages. This last Monday, I was thinking about my father, and I took my prayer journal. I've come just about to the end of it. I only have two pages left. And I wrote these words. Daddy's been gone for a little over 30 years. I have regretted that he's not been around to talk to and to get to know. My daddy loved traveling, and in the summertime, he would take my sister, Pamela Jo, and me on long trips to new places. He passed that adventuresome desire for journey into uncharted territories on to Pam and myself. Like our family ancestor, Daniel Boone, he always wondered what was over the next hill. And I'll be forever grateful for a father that introduced me to places that my friends had only heard about. I was just 13 years old in the summer of 1972 when we boarded a train to Chicago from my small Central Texas hometown. As dispatcher for Santa Fe Railroad, my dad got free family travel and accommodations at the Conrad Hilton Hotel on Michigan Avenue. You can see that hotel on the bottom left-hand side of that slide. It's where the last scene of the Harrison Ford movie, The Fugitive, was filmed. And I mean, it is a five-star hotel. We would have never been able to have afforded it if my father had not been an employee for Santa Fe. And while we were there in Chicago, we went up to the top of the Sears Tower. You can see that in the slide. In 1972, it was the tallest building in the world. And imagine me coming from a small Central Texas town whose tallest building was 12 stories, going now to the top of this building that literally swayed. That's the way the architects designed it, and it literally swayed at the top. It was a thrilling experience. We also, while we were in Chicago, boarded the L trains to the old Kaminsky Park and the old Wrigley Field to watch the Cubs and the White Sox play. It was also a wonderful educational experience while we were in Chicago going to the Field Museum. I will never forget that trip with my dad. We took another trip in the summer of 1974, and we made the long car ride from Brownwood, Texas, my hometown, to Washington, D.C. And Daddy gave me a map, as a 15-year-old teenager and made me the navigator for the trip. I think he wanted to teach me to learn how to read a map. And we reached Asheville, North Carolina on Interstate 40, and my dad informed me that he had planned on driving through the night down Interstate 40 to the east until we came to Raleigh, and then cut north to Richmond and going into Washington, D.C. and make it by hopefully morning the next day. Well, I had an open map in front of me. Remember, I was 15 years old and I was the navigator. And I noticed that there looked like a much more direct route through the Blue Ridge Parkway. And so I advised my father to take what looked like on this piece of paper a more direct route to Washington, D.C., and we'd shave off no telling how much time by going that way. Little did I know that he would take my advice as a 15-year-old and drive through the night through steep climbs and falls and hairpin turns through the darkness of that evening. On our return trip to Texas, I was relieved of my responsibilities as navigator. But I will always be grateful for my father. I'll never forget on our return trip, my dad planned it so that we would come through Atlanta. We'd never been in the Southeast before. And just as a 15-year-old going right through the center of downtown Atlanta, it just really kind of captured my imagination. I had such a strange feeling going through downtown Atlanta, never ever imagining or realizing that I would not only live in this area, but minister in this area. And I'll be forever grateful to my father, who opened up a whole new world for me in those long summer vacation trips. Fathers and children make interesting trips together throughout their lives, but none is more important and significant than the one recorded today in our scripture, Genesis chapter 11, verse 31. If you have your Bible open there, give me a loud hearty amen. Amen. And you read silently as I read aloud about this father and son trip. Genesis 11, verse 31. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. What an interesting trip this was. And you get the feeling from reading this verse that it was Abram's father's idea, Terah's idea, to make this journey, but it wasn't. God had already told Abram to make this trip, not his dad. And to show that to you, go on to Genesis 12 and verse 1. Some very important words I want to highlight to you here. Now the Lord had said to Abram, I've underlined that word had in red in my copy of God's Word. It means this is past tense. Before Genesis 12, 1, and even before the verse that we just read in Genesis 11, 31. And notice the prepositions that are used here. It says, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Very, very interesting, and it makes us wonder, when in the past did God tell Abram to make this trip? And to see that, we have to keep our place here in Genesis 12 and go to Acts in the New Testament. Acts chapter 7, beginning in verse 2. Acts 7 and beginning in verse 2 tells us when in the past God had given this direction to travel to Abram. I want to begin there in verse 2, Acts 7, verse 2. And he said, brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia. Now, where is Mesopotamia? It's just another word for Ur of the Chaldeans, which we read about over there in the book of Genesis. It's modern day Iraq, in what was called in Bible days Babylonia. And so we get this time reference. God spoke to Abram about making this trip when he was in Ur of the Chaldeans or in Mesopotamia. And look at this next preposition: before he dwelt in Haran. You get the idea from Genesis 12 that Abram didn't get these instructions to go on to the land of Canaan until he was in Haran. No, he'd received those instructions 25 years before when he lived in Mesopotamia with his father in Ur of the Chaldeans. And I want us to go on reading here in Acts 7, this time verse 4. Look at there in verse 4. Then he, speaking of Abram, came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, he moved them to this land in which you now dwell. In other words, Canaan, where modern day Jerusalem is. And so we go on and look at the next slide here. I want to give you a reference of where these three locations are that we've read about. Abram received his call way back in Ur of the Chaldeans, or what Acts 7 calls Mesopotamia, modern-day Iraq. And God's intended destination for Abram was to follow him by faith to the land of Canaan, which is due west of Ur the Chaldeans. You see, it's where modern day Jerusalem is. But we know from reading the Genesis account and the Acts account, instead of going like a crow flies from Ur the Chaldeans to Canaan, Abram went all the way up to Haran, which is halfway to Canaan, but far out of the way, far to the north. It would be kind of like this. It'd be like me saying, okay, we got the church van out here today. Let's get up a group and let's go from Atlanta to Dallas, Texas. And to get there, let's go through Chicago, Illinois. And let's stay there for about 25 years before we go on to Dallas. You know, I've had some layovers like that. I've had some connecting flights like that. But remember, we're not talking about flying. We're talking about driving. If I was driving to Dallas from Atlanta, man, I'd get on Interstate 20 and there's not a red light between here and there. I mean, it'd just be a straight shot. But when we're talking about Abram, we're not even talking about flying or driving. We're talking about riding a camel. This was far, far out of the way for Abram to make this trip through Haran to the land of Canaan, God's intended destination for him. What happened? Abram got sidetracked from what God wanted him to have. And that happens to so, so many Christians. This is one thing we know about Haran. Haran was at the outskirts of the Babylonian Empire, which included Ur of the Chaldeans. And there, Terah with his son Abram were moon worshipers. And the last place that they could possibly worship the moon instead of the God of the Bible would have been in Haran. So this was in their comfort zone. And so they get here to really what's familiar territory religiously to them, and they just can't make themselves move on to the land of promise, to the land that God had called them to. And so they just stayed there in Haran, not for a few months, not for a few years, but for 25 years. Dear Christian friend, let me give you this piece of advice. In the Christian life, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And some of us have started our journey of faith very well by receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But He gives us marching orders every day of our life. He shows us where He wants us to go. And He's got an intended destination for us. But if we don't watch out, we'll get distracted and we'll get sidetracked from God's intended goal for us, and we'll end up living in halfway Haran, not for a few months, not for a few years, but for a lifetime. If we don't watch out, it's not how you start, it is how you finish. I want you to see another verse. Go back to Genesis with me, okay? Genesis 12 and verse 4. Genesis 12 and verse 4. And notice this with me. It says, and Abram, you see it there? And Abram was 75 years old when he departed Haran. Boy, what a shame to live that long out of God's will. He received the call when he was 50 years old, and 25 years later, he finally gets it right. You know what? I might be speaking to some 75-year-olds today. Say, you know what, Pastor? Truth be known, I've been living in halfway Haran. I might be speaking to some 15-year-olds and some 25-year-olds, some 35 and 45 and 55-year-olds would say, truth be known, Pastor, I got the call from God, but I haven't finished it. I haven't followed Him. I've been living in halfway Haran. And it's a shame and a tragedy to find ourselves in that place. What did it take for Abram to resume his journey of faith? To see that, we have to go back to Genesis chapter 11. Go back there with me. Genesis 11 and verse 32. There it says that Terah died in Haran. Terah was Abram's father, the one who worshiped the moon and the one who taught his son to worship the moon. It took a death for Abram to finally start back on the journey that God wanted him to go on. You know what? I might be preaching to some Christians here today that received a call from God to make a journey of faith to a land that God would show you, to a place or to a vocation or to a school that God would show you. But somewhere along the way, maybe from family influence, maybe from friends, you got sidetracked way, way off the path that God intended you to go on. And you found yourself in halfway Haran. And you don't need me to tell you how miserable you are today. Because there's no more miserable feeling than being out of God's will and living in halfway Haran. Self-doubt and alcoholism led my father to never fully realize his potential. He had been living in halfway Haran for many years. I was the only person with him on a cold November night in 1983 in a lonely VA hospital in Big Spring, Texas, when he died at the age of 55 years old. I too had been living in my own halfway Haran, not doing what God had called me to do. And on that night in 1983, when my father died, I left my own halfway Haran. And I'm still on that journey of faith. In this same prayer journal that I wrote in earlier last week on Monday about my father, About 7.5 years ago, actually about 8 years ago now, I wrote this when this prayer journal was brand new. It was on Wednesday, August the 23rd. I wrote this in my own hand. It said, I will be going in view of a call as pastor of First Baptist Church of Noonan, Georgia. I answered that call to that journey 7.5 years ago. There have been a few bumps on the road, but I am committed to continuing to follow God on this path that He has chosen for me. You know, all of us are on a journey. That's what life is. And it could be that you remember that time when God called you to take a step of faith, to go where He wanted you to go. And you started out good, but you've gotten distracted. You've gotten sidetracked, and you're not living where you ought to live. You're living in halfway Haran. And you can get it right today. You can resume your journey no matter how long it's been. It was 25 years. For Abram, if it's just been a year or so, or even 20 years, you're doing better than Abram if you'll get back on the path today. It could be that God is calling you to a new journey today, to a land that He's going to show you. You don't know where it is. You have no idea where it is. But God is asking you to just take a step of faith. It could be that that journey is to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And to say, Lord, I've been calling the shots up to this point, and I've made a mess out of my life, but today, I'm going to start following You. I receive Your forgiveness. I receive Your salvation. And as best I can, I will follow You by faith. You could make that decision known right here in this building today. Why don't we offer an invitation? We offer an invitation because Jesus offered the invitation to come. But we offer an invitation in this building so that you can nail down that commitment. And you can look back at this day 25 years from now. This Father's Day, June the 15th, 2014. You can look back there and say, this was the day I got it right. This was the day I started following God, either for the first time or I started following Him again. And I pray that this will be a day of victory for you. Well, let's talk to the Lord about it, okay? Oh, dear Father, how we just want to thank You for Your grace, how we want to thank You for Your mercy. It's new every day. And Father, You give us the chance to rebound. You give us the chance to start all over again. And Father, for those of us that have gotten distracted and we find ourselves in places that we never dreamed or imagined that we would be, and we couldn't imagine that we have been there for this long and it seems so impossible to ever get back on the right path. Father, today I pray that You would give us the strength and the courage and the faith to start following You again. And Father, for those that have never been on the journey, but they feel Your Spirit calling them unto Yourself. Father, I pray that this would be their day of salvation. A day of salvation that was made possible by what You did for us on the cross of Calvary, when You paid the price for our sin. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.